You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to hour number two of Nightlight at the Museum. That's our theme tonight, folks. We're all about museums tonight, and we're having a blast here. We've got Jennifer Kronk coming up at 7:20. She is the curator at the Circus World Museum in Baraboo. Greg Vadney is here in studio talking about all things Rar West. In the first hour, if you missed it, our question of the night is, if you could only listen to one style of music for the rest of your life, what would it be? And the answers are all across the board, as you would expect. More hip-hop, I would say. That surprised me. We've got more hip-hop. Because I like some hip-hop. I don't think I would pick that as my music for the rest of my life. I'm kind of torn between rock and folk, maybe jazz. As usual, I'm wishy-washy on my own question. But keep the texts coming. We'll read those on the radio. And what else did we do, Conrad? We determined that a mayfly has 0.0004 calories. If you happen to eat a mayfly when you're out taking a walk, they will break a fast.
Yes, they will.
We've established that. Yep. So there you go. You're caught up, folks. So let us know. We can do the question. You can chime in. And we'll read it. And you'll be part of the show. It's always more fun when you guys take part. So we are in the thick of Nightlight, kicking off hour number two here after intermission, and Greg Vadney is here, and it is great to have you here, buddy. Cool
it's
stuff
great to
happening.
Be here.
Yeah,
it's great to be here. I just learned a lot about the mayfly. I feel like this was worth my trip.
They've
got to
be bad
learned
in Manitowoc, right? I mean, you got the lake.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, my kids have all done baseball, t-ball, softball, that kind of thing. And they're all like swarming those
brutal
fields at this time as they start their practices in the first few games.
It's like not even fun, because then you get rid of those after like a week and then the mosquitoes come in. And it's like, okay, well, I guess this is what we're doing.
Again, we're not really helping the Manitowoc Tourism Office today.
Well, except that they're everywhere.
I'll tell you, it's beautiful down in Manitowoc.
Here's why.
Please come down and visit. And if you do find yourself swarmed with mayflies, go into the Rar West Art Museum.
See, that's why I'm helping, because
there it is.
We don't have a museum like that in Marinette. We have to go in our house.
We are the most weatherproof tourist destination you could have.
You have options. So go to Manitowoc.
It's a controlled environment at the Rar West.
So tell us more, Greg, about what you have. You have this great Georgia O'Keeffe event Thursday at 3 p.m.
That's right. Thursday at 3 p.m., free event. We've got Petey Young, an art educator from the Art Institute of Chicago, coming up to talk about Georgia O'Keeffe. Our painting, Birch and Pine Tree Number 2, is celebrating its 100th birthday in 2025. We are also celebrating our 75th anniversary. And like I had said before the break, we got a host of different exhibits connected to that. But we also have an event coming up next month.
Yeah, this sounds cool.
Yeah, Wednesday, the 25th of June. We figured it's 1950s when we got our start. Let's do a 1950s theme. And my curator, Diana Bollander, was like, Greg, we're doing a sock hop.
Love it.
And I was like, I have no idea what that is, but it sounds very 1950s. You know where my two references for 1950s, again, this is going to age me, Happy Days. Happy Days, you know.
Which
I
is
think
actually
about that, 70s. I was like, that's the 70s version
the 50s,
of, I think, the 50s.
Right.
And then Back to the Future. Like,
oh,
Back
yeah
to the Future. So when she said sock hop, I was like, okay, like the Under the Sea.
Under
camp.
The Sea, when
and
he plays
like,
Chuck Berry.
No, that's not a sock hop.
So apparently, what is a sock hop? I know it's a dance, but
I think that they, I mean, here's the deal. We are inviting people to get costumed up, get your poodle skirt on.
Nice.
We will have a sock contest. So there's going to be judges judging the sock game that people bring, and dances. There's going to be some coordinated dancing going on. We've got the Del Reyes playing.
Ooh, I like the name of that. I don't know.
60s music. So
that's a
I mean,
great
they're going to be absolutely like Jan and Dean and some early Beach Boys stuff. I think it'll be the right vibe. I mean, for me, I would say I'm going to be mixing my idea of what the 50s and the 60s are. I know we're having a classic car rally. So there's going to be classic cars there from the 1950s. And we're stretching it into the 60s because, my gosh, it's the, like, we're thinking early era. And that's another free event. You know, it's happening outside the museum, kind of like Sputnik Fest is done, out on our East Lawn and in front of the museum. We're going to have some food trucks. We're going to have a hula hoop contest.
Fun.
You know, and, and just bring that 50s vibe to the museum. The museum will be open for tours, and people can wander through the museum during the course of that night. And again, that is the evening of Wednesday, June the 25th. And we're also got a great partnership. So right down the street from us is the Wharf, right on the Manitowoc River as it meets Lake Michigan. And that is a great facility with its own outdoor stage. And they are hosting that evening the Letterman. So the Letterman, another great...
The actual Letterman?
Yeah, the band, the Letterman.
Wow.
So think about it this way. If you're into that 1950s, 60s vibe, come to the Rahr West, enjoy some great music and some great fun at the Rahr West, and then finish up the night down at the Wharf. And I believe that starts at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. So a few hours after our event, you go down to the Wharf and you can enjoy that 50s and 60s vibe all throughout Manitowoc. So then that's how we bring it back, Manitowoc tourism.
Yeah. You're not going to like that. How old are those guys now?
They're up there. You know, we've talked with at least one or two of them have some connection with the museum.
Oh.
But they're still going strong. I mean,
they just won't stop.
Yeah, somebody's calling in to tell you how old they are.
Oh, there it is. It's the Letterman. So it is the Letterman right here.
Yeah, we're young. Young at heart.
So that's awesome. Really that's
gonna
fun.
It's going to be a fun vibe. And, you know, it's funny because, as I said, my reference, I didn't grow up in the 50s and 60s. Yeah. I'm not bragging about that. But my reference points are getting dated to the point where, like, when I brought up Happy Days to one of my employees, she was like, what the heck are you talking about? I'm like, you know, Fonzie. She's like, I have no idea what you're referring to.
But you just said, like, during the break that one of your kids is into NAS.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
and my kids, you know, like that too. They're into all these movies that I watch.
And here's the thing too.
I think that's kind of fun.
I was just talking to my daughter, who's 18, going to be 19 years old, just getting back from college. And I was like, what is, like, the seminal movie that you grew up with? What is your version of, like, Ferris Bueller's Day Off? And she struggled with it. And she's like, well, I've seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off and kind of translate. I said, you need your own stuff.
No kidding.
But I'll tell you what. She made a good point. She's like, well, listen, your generation didn't create Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That was the generation before you. So why are you guys asleep at the wheel? You're supposed to be creating things for my generation to enjoy. And we're coming up with, like, High School Musical and garbage like that.
Garbage. But also, they don't watch movies, right? They're, like, on YouTube, and my daughter is just getting into movies now.
I think so, but, like, it's my kids to listen. Like, my son listens to Nas, and one of my daughters is, like, huge into Weird Al.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah. And it's like, guys, you know, there's got to be people. Like, I keep on saying to my kids, I want you to listen to things and watch things that I'm horrified by.
Yeah.
I should be very confused and frightened by the things that you
I should want to send you to Catholic school because of what you're listening to.
Exactly right. You need a nun in your
life.
That's
hilarious.
Yeah, and but instead, like, I sit down and watch things and I laugh about them, and then a joke comes up and I'm like, oh, I'm not supposed to laugh at that. Neither are you.
Oh, I know. That's
it's a troubling thing as a parent. I try to keep them on the straight and narrow, and then they find out about who I am.
Who you were.
they find that ugly underbelly and... Yeah,
it's got to be forgivable. We didn't know any better, right?
Oh my gosh, but it's good. It's fun to see your kids explore that stuff. Absolutely. And then you're like, oh, I remember what I was doing back then.
That is the voice of Greg Vadney. He is here in the studio with me, and he is the executive director of the Rahr West Museum in Manitowoc. We got a few more minutes here with Greg. What else can you tell us? What else you got coming up, buddy?
Well,
you want to talk about Sputnik Fest?
We can hit upon that. I do want to mention another great exhibit that we have coming up, because we had some wonderful ones for our 75th anniversary. And in June, we are bringing in kind of a Manitowoc homegrown artist, Gary John Gressel, who grew up in Manitowoc, but has created artwork all around the country. It is collected by institutions throughout the state.
Nice.
And he's an assemblage artist. So he takes existing objects and kind of merges them together, fuses them into something new.
Very cool.
And he's going to be, that opening, I believe, is June 8th. at the RAR West Art Museum, and it runs until July 20th, the exhibit. But June 8th is an important one because he's the type of artist, like, you're going to need some kind of explanation because you come across it and you're like, this is just wild.
Need it explained.
And he's going to be at the museum on the 8th. He'll be giving a talk, and again, free to the public.
Yeah.
And I think it's great to get context for stuff like that because you can look at that kind of stuff and be like, ah, come on, that's just junk.
Right.
But he's very thoughtful about what he's creating. It's not just he comes across a bunch of junk and then glues it together. There is
a method to his madness,
a huge method and a professional method. And this guy is heralded around the country for his artwork, and he's a native son of Manitowoc, so we want to celebrate. I think this is the first time he's had a solo show at the RAR West Art Museum. So that opening is on the 8th, and then it continues on until July 20th. And we got a bunch of other things. You can go to our website, rarwestartmuseum.org, to find out the upcoming exhibits. We've got a wonderful Keith Haring exhibit at the end of the year, New York artist, subway artist that is like... He was a contemporary of Warhol in New York and a big, big name. So it's going to be fun later on this year. But we'll talk about that down the road a little bit.
Yeah, we'll have you back before then, obviously. But that really cool stuff happening in June. I love both those events. Sound fun.
I know. It's going to be fun, June. And like that, it's great for us because we're gonna draw people from Manitowoc all the time.
Yeah.
But June is when we start to kick off that tourism season. So we start to see people coming off the SS Badger. We start to see people traveling from down here. And then we see people travel into the state from all sorts of other places, and they're stopping by the RAR West. It's great.
Always great when you can have an artist there, too, because to me that's what takes it to another level is when you have them explain where they got their inspiration or what they were thinking or what. And so I highly recommend both these events, and go to the RAR West website and check that out, too. We've got just under 2 minutes left. Let's talk Sputnik Fest. We got one of our... texters around the stream said, Pete, I'd be very curious. This is Craig Kinnid, who's been on the show. I'd be very curious if Greg was familiar with the story of the Sputnik prank that was perpetuated in Big Falls, Wisconsin, around the same time the Sputnik piece crashed in Manitowoc. The prank was world news on as well, and it drew investigators from Russia as well as NASA.
I've not heard that. And Craig, please reach out if you want to come to Sputnik Fest Saturday, September the 6th and share that story.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know about the Sputnik story until I visited the RAR West. And I had the same reaction that many people have given me, which is like, no, that didn't happen. I would have heard about it. But it did. It's an amazing story where this Soviet spacecraft crashed right into Manitowoc, downtown Manitowoc,
and right by the
largest
museum.
Piece right in front of the museum. By the way,
that's insane.
Recent news.
Yeah.
Another Soviet spacecraft just crashed off the coast of Indonesia like a few days ago.
Is that true?
That's true. That's true. That one's been up for like 45 years.
You're going to have competition.
Well, luckily, that's the thing. It landed in the water, so we should be okay. There might be. Hey, maybe we can take a cruise.
A little scuba
dive.
Let's
do a cruise, man, to Southeast Asia.
I love it. Greg Vadney, come back anytime, buddy. Always
Absolutely.
Fun. And good luck with these events, the sock hop and the multiple artists visiting. I think it sounds fantastic. Check out the RAR West Museum website and get more information. And we will talk soon, buddy.
Thanks for having me on again, Pete.
Always
fun. It's great.
All right. That's Greg Vadney. We're coming right back to talk about... Conrad, what are we going to talk about from your childhood?
The Circus World.
It's going to be awesome. Jennifer Kronk is coming up next. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why the sky and tell the sky and be the sky and tell the sky. What is it?
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you to cry. Brother, 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 there's far
Welcome
too
back.
Many of you.
Oh, fun night here at Nightlight. It's our Nightlight at the Museum episode. All museum talk tonight. Just worked out that way. I mean, we planned it. Local Emmy. That's all I'm thinking. Conrad, Regional Emmy. That's what this show screams. Nightlight at the Museum.
I think we got a chance.
Submit us. I think it's going to happen. I don't even know if those exist. All right, folks. This is exciting. You know, I grew up, when I was in the 90s doing stand-up comedy, I would go up to Milwaukee, and one of my favorite clubs, the Comedy Cafe, was there. And there were several comedians that had gone through Baraboo, and they learned how to be clowns, and they were the Ronald McDonald and the Big Boy. But I've never been there, so I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. Her name is Jennifer Kronk, and she is the curator of the Circus World Museum in Baraboo, and she joins us on the stream right now. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing very well. You ready to talk some clowns and some circus and all things?
Let's do it.
All right. I have to tell you, I attended clown college and dropped out after 2 years because I couldn't make the grades. Sounds about right. Still want to be on the show. Okay. all right. Introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us about you. How did you end up in Baraboo at this really cool, I would assume you love this gig.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
But I do not have any circus background, which is terrible, I know. But I was working at a history museum out in Colorado. I'd gone to grad school out there, and my husband and I were looking at moving back to the Midwest, where we are from, and this is the first job I saw when I Googled, you know, jobs in Minnesota and Wisconsin. And I thought, I don't know anything about circus, but it seems really interesting.
Yeah.
And I think I could do it. And I got the job, and it's fantastic. You know, the thing that's always interested me is the stories of people. I have an anthropology background. I love that kind of thing. And the circus gives you every kind of story you could ever want or could imagine. It's really, really fun. Every day is something new, and I get to learn all of this really crazy stuff.
That's so great. So, all right. So for those of us who have not been, I've never even been to Baraboo.
You need to get down here. It's great.
Well, I hear it's beautiful. First of all, it's supposed to be
really fantastic. Yeah.
But tell us a little bit about Circus World.
Okay.
If people do visit, and we'll get to the upcoming events, but in general, what can they expect there?
Well, so Circus World is one of the historic sites owned by the state of Wisconsin. We're part of the Wisconsin Historical Society. So there's sites all over the state. We're one of those. But what makes us really unique is we are based, our museum is located in the original winter quarters of the Ringling Brothers Circus. So Ringling Brothers started their circus out of Baraboo in the 1880s. That's a question we get all the time from people. Why is there a circus museum in Baraboo?
That was right? One of my questions, yeah.
Exactly. City of 12,000, why is there a circus museum?
It's
because these brothers were living here in Baraboo when they got it in their heads that they wanted to start a circus. You know, some of them had done some performing previously. Al Ringling was known for balancing a plow on his chin, as people do, right?
Sure.
Musicians, they were comedians, but they started a circus. And beginning in 1886, they decided, well, we need a place to come back and, you know, work on our show every year, because circuses would go out in the spring. They would travel all summer long into the fall, and then come winter time, they would go back to a home base to, you know, paint the wagons and work on what the show was going to be the next year and stuff like that. And so the Ringlings did that in Baraboo along the Baraboo River. And they were here until 1918. They built dozens of buildings during that time. So they would come back here, and this is where they housed their elephants and their horses and all the other animals. All of those things were based in Baraboo. In the 1890s, early 1900s, people could look out their window and see the elephants taking a walk down the street, because that's what they did.
So so that was their winter headquarters too. They would come back and they would practice in these buildings,
yes.
And they would stay sharp and all that kind of stuff. But why do you think they stayed there in the winter? Like, you know how cold Wisconsin gets. They could have gone southwest, southeast, and had warmer weather, but it's kind of cool that they still did that here in Wisconsin.
Right. And, you know, they were hardy Midwestern boys. they had lived throughout Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa as children. Their father was a harness maker who moved around as, you know, he could find the work.
Yeah.
And the good thing about the Midwest is that it was a good jumping off point for the circus season because, you know, you could go east, you could go west, you could go south.
Okay.
And really, Wisconsin is pretty rare in that over 120 circuses came out of Wisconsin in its history, which is
wow,
kind of insane to yes, think about.
It's so great.
There were circuses all over the states, you know, from the south up to the north, east, west. And so Baraboo didn't just have the Ringling Brothers Circus. They also had the Golmar Brothers Circus, who were actually first cousins to the Ringlings. But it was a bunch of brothers who had their own show that also traveled all over the country. And so Baraboo was just a good place to call home. They had abundant feed for all their animals because obviously we have the agriculture here. And in the winter time, you have all of these farmers who aren't working quite as much as they are during the growing season. And so they would be able to come in and help care for the animals and do things like that when they were back here in Baraboo. So it was a huge employer of the local
right,
citizens who lived in Baraboo at the time.
That is the voice of Jennifer Kronk. She is here discussing, she's the curator of Circus World in at the Circus History Museum, one of 11 sites in the Wisconsin Historical Society. And a shout out to our friend Rebecca Warner, who set up this interview with you, Jennifer. We're going to do the news quick, and then we'll come back. And she's got a lot to tell us about what's going on there. So don't go away, folks. It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night, a beautiful Tuesday night in the state of Wisconsin. We are broadcasting live throughout the state from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Tomorrow night on the show, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel entertainment writer Chris Foran will be here to talk movies and TV. And then award-winning civic media meteorologist Brittany Merlot will join us at 7:35. So another fun night tomorrow night. Right now we have some more time with our current guest, Jennifer Kronk. She is the curator of, she is the Circus World curator of circus history. Am I saying that right, Jennifer?
It's a mouthful, right?
It's the circus, it's the double circus that's messing
circus
me up.
Circus circus, right?
I want to make
well,
sure.
Well, just fun. It's huge. It's important.
You're a curator, and you're very important, and you know a lot about the circus. That's where we'll start from there. But
got it. Yep.
So we've got, you know, I have a, first of all, we have a question on the stream I want to ask you. Craig Kinnett says, Pete, a question for your guest, Jennifer. Do they still have the animation armature for Mighty Joe Young on display at the Circus Museum? I've always wanted to see that. Does that sound familiar?
It does not, no.
Okay, that must have been a exhibit from years and years ago because Mighty Joe Young came out years ago. So, well, there you go, Craig, I asked. But thank you for listening, and thank you for your question. So, Jennifer, where should we start here? We've got some time. I want to help you get the word out about some fun events you have coming up. I also have my own questions, but, you know, your dime, your dance floor. So what do you want to talk about next?
Well, we can talk a little bit about how the museum came to be. You know, we started on that, but,
yeah.
You know, the Ringlings left Baraboo here in 1918. At that time, they combined their show with the Barnum and Bailey Circus to become the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus,
oh,
which is
okay,
the long title that a lot of people are yeah, familiar with. And Barnum and Bailey's winter quarters were out in Connecticut, so the Ringlings decided to move out there. So they were out there for about 10 years before they moved to Florida. You know, that goes to your question about nicer weather in the winter, right?
Yeah.
Like Florida. So exactly. That's what they did too. But as a result, there were all of these barns here in Baraboo that were left empty. And so they were rented out to local businesses. They were used by, you know, there was a junkyard. There was a chick hatchery with little baby chicks in it. There was lots of things going on in these buildings. They were used by businesses. But by the 50s, there was a gentleman named John M. Kelly, and he had been the attorney to the Ringling Brothers for many years. He was from Portage, so he was, you know, a local boy.
Yeah.
But he was telling anyone who would listen that there needed to be a circus museum and it had to be in Baraboo. And so he garnered support from the State Historical Society of Wisconsin, for one. And we were able to open this museum July 1st, 1959. And when we opened, we had two of the historic barns as part of the museum. And so visitors could come and see six wagons at that time. Now we have, you know, something like 250. So a couple more.
I saw that. That is crazy. These were actual wagons and they're restored, I assume.
Yeah, you know, we have about 250. Some are off-site and have not been restored, but we have, you know, 120, 30 or so around the grounds that people can see. And so these are both, you know, there's parade wagons. Circus parades would happen to get people excited to come see the circus. And so those are the very ornamented ones, lots of carvings. And so we have a number of those, but there's also wagons that were more utilitarian because obviously they had to carry all their stuff, right? They were traveling from place to place with all of their equipment and things like that. And so the baggage wagons are sometimes not quite as exciting, but we have all of these to see. Most of them are concentrated in one particular building, which has about 90 of them in there. But you'll find them sprinkled in buildings throughout the grounds. But we started with six whole wagons when we opened in 1959.
Oh my gosh.
But we had a performance starting then as well. People could come see a circus. And from there, we just grew. As some of these additional winter quarters buildings were becoming available, the owners were selling them, we were purchasing them. So now we have a number of these historic buildings, and they're actually National Historic Landmarks as well.
Yeah.
And so we have seven of those here. There's a couple more in private hands right outside our grounds, but people can see what it was like for the Ringlings when they were, you know, running their show. And we have grants going on for restoration work on some of these buildings. We're almost done with the office building. We received a grant from the National Park Service, Save America's Treasures grants. And so that work has been going on for the last couple of years. We'll be starting the work on one of the animal houses, 1901 Animal House. Something really cool about that one, which we didn't even know anything about, as they were doing some investigation in preparation for this grant, they realized that below the ground, below the floor, there were bear dens. So that's they were, you know, the bears would go to hibernate for the winter when they were back in Baraboo. It's wild. <That's> Think of, these are the things that were.
Yeah.
Just
I love
down
that.
The street from all these regular folks.
My guest is Jennifer Kronk. She is the Circus World Curator of Circus History in Baraboo. One of the things I thought was interesting. Well, there's a lot of stuff, and Rebecca gave us all this information, which I think is great. But the visitor center alone has hundreds of artifacts celebrating circus arts from all over the span of years. Special selections include the circus posters and drawings, including a rare Annie Oakley poster, along with a complete set of sketches, circus costumes, Cinderella's carriage, and her glass slipper, and even items from 1952 Cecil B. DeMille movie, Greatest Show on Earth. That's all just in the visitor center. So how long do people need? Let's say a family of five or four or whatever want to go to Circus World. How much time should they spend there? Because, you know, you've also got the Restoration Center. You've got the Summer Seasons Big Top. What goes on there in the Big Top? That sounds really cool.
Yeah. So we have a live circus performance that happens twice a day, morning and afternoon. It's the same show. So you only have to go once, but you can go twice if you really like it.
Sure.
And in that show, you know, our acts change every year what we have. So this year, you know, it's all led by our Ringmaster Robert Trader, but we have a hula hoop act, we have unicycle, we have clowns, we have an aerial act, we have, for the first time, there's going to be a motorcycle incline act in the tent itself. We have horses, we have a Russian swing. Outside in the afternoon, you can see a flying trapeze. So there's juggling. There's all of these different circus acts that right. you can experience live. And really, if you're visiting, you can spend easily the entire day there. You know, you can start your morning going to our guided wagon tour, so you can learn more about the history of these amazing wagons that we have. And then you can head over to the Big Top Show at 11. After that, you can grab a bite to eat. We have our cookhouse grill, so people can get food as well. There's Kids World Circus, where kids can be part of a circus in the afternoon. We have the flying trapeze, and then all of the historic buildings that have exhibits in as well. So you can plan to spend the entire day there. There's enough to see to keep you occupied the whole time.
It's so great, and it's just that such great work the Wisconsin Historical Society does to give us these great places to visit, and there's 11 of them, and just on your grounds alone, it sounds like you have 7 more historic landmarks, which is pretty cool. What's the Iron Jaw exhibit? That sounds like a fun live, and maybe you touched on that a little bit, but can you go into a little more detail? That's the
I
one
did
where
not. So that is a new exhibit that I worked on this year. So I do a lot of the exhibit development here as well. And Iron Jaw is one of those acts that when I first learned about it as a circus novice, not knowing anything, right. I was like, what? Is it real? Right. Because it is performers hanging by their teeth.
It's crazy. They have a mouth. It's insane. And people can see that. People can see that if they go to Circus World. You guys have that.
Well, we do not have an Iron Jaw, a live Iron Jaw act.
Oh, exhibit.
Year,
okay.
We have an exhibit that shows photographs of people doing it. We have these mouthpieces. And so our oldest mouthpiece dates to 1910. It is honestly just a piece of stacked leather on a hook. And that's about it. Someone bit into it and hung from a trapeze bar or whatever. And so Iron Jaw artists would often, you know, some of them would hang from a trapeze bar, but there'd be a swivel so you can spin around. Some would do what was called a slide for life. So you'd start high up at the peak of the big top and slide down a rope or a wire. There's a video online, which is amazing, of an Iron Jaw performer named Tiny Klein. She actually went on to become the first Tinkerbell at Disneyland in the 60s, at age 70, mind you, which is pretty amazing. But there's a YouTube video of her doing a slide for life over Broadway in New York City.
That's
so
fun.
You can see this just her going across and there being crowds below and all these skyscrapers. And it's one of those acts that just is mind-boggling because who decided they should try this and then right. succeeded at it and kept it going?
Right.
Because it's been going on since the 19th century and it's still happening today. I went to a circus last month and I saw 2 different Iron Jaw performers. And so it's pretty amazing.
Daniel texts in, he's in the 920, Jennifer, and he says, can Jennifer comment on the tent of mannequins representing famous sideshow freaks? Is that still there?
We do have the sideshow acts represented, and these fiberglass figures actually date back to the 60s. We first had them displayed on the grounds here. They've been, you know, repainted and taken care of since then. And more recently, too, we're trying to contextualize that a little bit, because obviously that word freak is thrown around a lot.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And not necessarily, and that's what they were called historically
right.
oftentimes. But, you know, there are people with both, you know, physical differences, but also, you know, you have the snake charmers and the tattooed ladies and things like that as well. And so we have some information talking about some of the real people that did those acts as well on the ground. So the sideshow tent is still there, yes.
That's really fascinating. You have some upcoming events at Circus World, including Military Service Day, which is May 24th, free to military members, which is a nice perk. Circus World Anniversary Days, June 27th through the 30th. $6 admission to celebrate the 66th anniversary of Circus World. Those sound like fun.
You can't get a better deal than that,
no.
Right? What else can you do for $6?
I mean, and it's almost worth joining the military just to get in free on that day, I think, right?
Another thing, though, you know, you mentioned we're one of 11 historic sites. You can buy a membership to the Wisconsin Historical Society and right. get in free to all of the sites as many times as you want in the year. And so that's a really good deal. You have family, you know, a bunch of kids. You can bring them to Circus World. You can take them over to Old World and then Wade House and then Villa Louise. So you can move all over the state and see these amazing historic sites.
All right. We'll have a couple more minutes with Jennifer after a very short break here, and then we will let her get on with her evening, and we will finish up reading your texts. And that will be a wrap, folks. But don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Within your ears, who can sway? Right now, tomorrow's looking bright.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. We are in the final throes of tonight's broadcast. Our question of the night was, if you only could pick one style of music to listen to for the rest of your life, what would it be? And the answers have been all over the place. PJ on the stream says alternative rock music. Thank you, PJ. We'll read the rest of your texts coming up momentarily. We have a couple minutes left with our new friend, Jennifer Kronk, who is the a Circus World Curator of Circus History in Baraboo. It is definitely worth a visit. You can find more information on their website, circusworldbaraboo.org. And it is free admission, as Jennifer mentioned, to Wisconsin Historical Society members, which is a really nice perk. Jennifer, you said you were elsewhere before you came here at a different museum. How connected do you get when you have a job like this to the place you're at? Like, do you have this affinity now for the circus, and would it be hard to leave and that kind of stuff? Or is there a museum in particular you'd love to go to that suits your interests better? As passionate as you may be about your work now, is it a place that would be hard to leave?
Definitely. Yeah. Because also, you know, the Baraboo community is so supportive of the circus because it's been a part of the city's history for so many years. And while I never could have imagined that I would be devoting my life to circus history, I saw one circus as a child. You know, I grew up in the cornfields of Minnesota and there wasn't much going on, but I love it. Every day I learn something new, something wild. Things are coming out of my mouth that I never imagined would, because it's so, you know, questions that I'm asking honestly would sound bizarre to anyone who didn't know that I worked at a circus museum. And it's fun to talk about. And, you know, the collection that I am responsible for caring for is so dynamic and amazing. You know, we have this wardrobe collection that's outstanding, you know, ringmaster costumes dating back to 1860 and feathers and sequins and all the amazing things. So it would be really, really tough to leave and find something that is this interesting and exciting on a daily basis.
We have about 30 seconds left. Is the circus more popular than it used to be? Or less popular?
It's less popular because for so many years it was the dominant form of entertainment in the country. People didn't have other options, right?
Right.
The circus would come to town and whole cities would shut down. Like, there wouldn't be school. The stores would be closed because everybody would go to the circus. And so now people can go on YouTube and see anything they want to see, but there's still nothing that compares to seeing a live performance of the circus arts, and seeing all of that right in front of you is so amazing. So it's changed a lot, evolved over the years, but it's still there and it's still worth seeing.
And check out the next best thing. If you can't get to the actual circus, head down to Circus World in Baraboo. Jennifer Kronk, thank you so much for taking the time out tonight, and have a great season.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, that's Jennifer Kronk. Conrad, we got a road trip. We always talk about road tripping. Yeah, that Al Ringling Theater is supposed to be. Remember, we had Charo on the show last year, and that's where she was performing. And
all these driving stories, I don't think I want to be in a car with you.
Hey, dude, it's not me. I am a responsible, seat-wearing, good citizen. We got some text to get through here before we close things down. Our question of the night was, if you could only listen to one kind of music the rest of your life, what would it be? Rhonda from Madison says, I would say Motown. You have the bubblegum pop of the Beach Boys and harmonies and multiple voices, but they also have slow and fast tunes, and the songs also have blues and rock. So I think that would be a good compromise over a long period of time. That's a great answer, Rhonda. AJ again says, apologize for thinking Conrad's first initial was C when it's actually K. Very forgivable, AJ. Anna from Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. I could listen to classic rock forever. I hope so, because you only get one choice, Anna. Great one, though. Tom from New Berlin says, love Ooze. I think he means blues. I think Tom
maybe that's a,
does voice.
Maybe that's a band.
Unless that's a music I haven't heard of yet. Where are we going here? Brian from Green Bay says, yodeling music.
That's going to haunt you, I feel like, more than...
You're going to kill yourself. Yeah. It's just yodeling, too. It's not yodeling music, Brian, I think.
It would be a chore to put on
music. I know what you were going for, but I think it's just yodeling. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, he's in the 608. He says, Gregorian chant, because we are all doomed. Or yakety sax to keep me one step ahead of the Grim Reaper. That might be the text of the night. That's beautiful. Steady Eddie in the 608 says, if I could only listen to one style of music, I would listen to the folk rock of the 1960s. Artists like James Taylor, Paul Simon, Joni Mitchell, and Bob Dylan. Though I'm always looking for new old music that I may have missed. Recently, I discovered on YouTube the song Misty, sung by an aging, gracefully Johnny Mathis. Johnny Mathis, yes, love him. I added that. Johnny first made it a hit in 1959. At age 89, he is still performing and singing Misty beautifully. It's a great song. Steadfast, look at me, I'm as helpless as a kitten in a tree. Edward, did you get what I did there? He gave himself like a moniker in between his first and last names. Yep. I didn't know if that came across. And then finally, from the 818, Bridget says, jazz, something easy and relaxing. Wonderful text tonight, everybody. Oh, also, Monica Hale on social media said punk rock. She says she could listen to The Clash forever. Again, that's a long time. But I love all of these answers. Thank you to Jennifer Kronk. Thank you to Greg Vadney for driving up from Manitowoc. Check out the Rar West Museum website and check out Circus World. So much going on at both of these museums. They are true treasures here in Wisconsin. And thank you to all of you for your texts and listening. A lot of text tonight and a lot of fun with that question. So we'll be back tomorrow night to do it all again. That's what we do, Conrad.
That's what we do.
Every weeknight, 6 to 8. If you're on the socials, give us a like or a follow. We always love getting likes and follows because that's what you're supposed to do. And thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow night again on behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
Take me to your best friend's house. Mama made, we're making out. Oh, yeah.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.